I like that intro. So this is what you get. Sounds almost like this is punishment. And with that, let's get into petty politics. Today, this is our petty politics segment of the day. So as I kind of mentioned in the first segment at the beginning of the intro, this is the time of the session where there's been enough nervous energy to start to spill out into public. And let's just be honest. This year, most of the big issues that folks are trying to tackle are not based on what I would call metrics. We're not fighting over extra spending. We're not fighting over deep issues of policy. We've got about, what, six, eight bills that are trying to regulate religion in some form and or other human rights protections. And this is the kind of year where everyone's running and preening for reelection. And so everyone wants their soundbite. And we are a majority Republican state. So most of this particular fun gets to happen on the Republican side because you've got Republicans controlling the agenda, and then you have what's kind of really been a thing for at least since the Tea Party, but there's always been shades of it, where you've got folks that run against the Republican establishment because where I grew up in Fayette County, if you were going to run for anything, you had to run as a Republican. So if you didn't like someone and you wanted to take them out, you had to run as a Republican against them. You know, so primaries predated the Tea Party, and I get that. But you've got some people now that are running. You know, there is an entire industry of running against Republicans. And we'll get to presidential politics in the last segment, but I'm going to use as an example. It seems like the people that are supporting Ted Cruz, specifically in the media and in a lot of places on social media, if Ted Cruz is ever attacked, the only line that comes back is, oh, my God, it's the establishment attacking Ted Cruz. It doesn't matter who it is, because all they know how to do is attack the establishment. And most of the people that do this, and I will include Ted Cruz in this, they do it from an air of moral superiority, because that's what you do in Republican conservative politics. I have principle. My morals are better than you. Look at how superior I am. The Pharisees tried that about 2,000 years ago, and it didn't really work out well for them. But others haven't learned that running around publicly saying, I am better than you, I am the example you have to follow, I am the only one that has the true conservative values, you're going to get called out on it. So Mike Crane, senator from Noonan, decides he's going to run for Congress, and he's kind of been on the full, I'm better than you, I'm more moral than you, I am more pious than you career since he's been at the state Senate. And when it comes time to vote on the supplemental budget that I'm sure has something in there that any conservative can find objectionable, because that's what happens when you vote for an entire budget in one item, and that's the way that Georgia does it, period. He took a walk on the vote. He was there. He just didn't vote. Was not excused, as I understand it. So some of the governor's staff who have had their time of being taken as the, you know, if you're the governor, you're by definition the establishment of a state. So when you run against the establishment, the folks that tend to be in the Mike Crane silo are used to attacking them. And so the governor's staff had some fun pointing out that, oh my gosh, Mike Crane, principled conservative, walked out. Well, we had a post from one of our millennials, Will Kramer, last night, kind of calling him out, saying that you've been talking about politics as usual. How dare you do that? A couple hours later, we had a response from one of our other millennials, Jessica Salagi, or as we like to call her, Jessica Smith, points out that the governor didn't call out one of their own floor leaders and other people for missing a lot of votes, and that's hypocrisy. So what do we have here? Do we have hypocrisy, or do we have someone finally saying, you know what, if you're going to lead by example and you're going to present yourself, you're being better than others, you better walk the walk, because when you don't, there's a lot of people that you've been getting your career off of making them look bad that are going to remind you you're just one of them. What's going on here?
Oh, okay. I think if you are going to take a principled stand and you really don't believe that this budget is the budget is a problem, then you actually need to stand up for that stand and vote no. And I'll run over. We talked about Crane. We're going to get to this Pastor Protection Act probably in the third segment. But Kevin Cook went to the floor in the House talking about how the Pastor Protection Act was no good because it wasn't a full RFRA, and then walked out and didn't bother to vote. He was not excused. He just was absent. If you have a principled position that you don't want, believe in something, then take that all the way through and vote against it, because that's the way you show you're really there. And I think that was Crane's problem as well.
And that's a fair point. But I'd also think there's levels of these bills, right? I mean, there's some that's like, well, look, you know, I can get hit if I vote for it. I can get hit if I vote against it. This is not that important of a thing. I'm going to spend some time in the hall talking to people. there's another difference between that and like the actual budget, which is the biggest thing that happens. And it is something that you have to play a part in. You have to have a position on. If you want to vote no against every budget, well, I guess that's okay too. But it's an entirely other thing to not even participate in that kind of a process, which is essentially the signal that he's giving.
And then you've got a group of people that like to wear their religion on their sleeve. And just when you point this out, they cannot take criticism. Because when you have decided that you and actually believe that what you're doing is more morally superior than anyone down there, then by definition, if you are criticizing those people, you somehow are amoral in your criticism. And that's where I'm going to call out Representative David Stover right now, going back to his Board of Regents vote. Because when he put up the proposal, I put a very minor criticism on my Facebook page, basically saying he was missing the point. And then the article, I believe it was written by Nathan Smith, pointed out the historical reasons why you didn't have that politicized. And that morning, David Stover, a few minutes later, put on his Facebook page, and I quote, "It saddens me to see once good men turn their solution into the problem. They lose their voice in their website that was once a respected political destination because they sold their souls in order to prop up broken systems. They twist the real facts in order to become self-important and make friends with the state's leadership. The Board of Regents has increased tuition over 65% in the last 10 years, a rate which is more than twice the rate of inflation." Let's just destroy this real quickly in quick sound bites. He's presented a statistic without any backup information that says that the reason that the rate of tuition is increased is because of the makeup of the Board of Regents. I said in the earlier part of the last segment of why there are many other reasons that's going up. So let's start there. I was once a good man because I used to actually praise David Stover and a lot of his friends, and at times I still do. I think there are a lot of things they're doing that need to be done at the Capitol, but no one is above criticism. And when you decide everything you do is moral and just, and anything that anyone else is doing that opposes that is unjust, you've set yourself up for failure, and David Stover clearly has launched into his own bubble for that. We'll skip over the loses voice in his website. Still got a website. Very happy with it. Traffic's good. GeorgiaPaul.com. Check us out. We're not at that other place anymore. Sold my soul. Yeah, Representative Stover loves to talk about how more Christian he is than everyone, but he has never inquired as to the health of my soul, except when I've disagreed with them. That's the kind of Christianity we don't need, where people are going to turn other people away from religion because you've disagreed with them politically. And the last time I checked in the Bible, how the Board of Regents was constituted was not one of the paths to heaven. So I'd really, really, really suggest David Stover just back off there a little bit. But I'll meet him at church anytime he wants, as long as I get to choose the one. Prop up broken systems. Georgia Tech is the second-ranked public institution in the country. University of Georgia, I believe, is in the top 20. They're not exactly broken, so perhaps we're not propping up a broken system. Perhaps we're trying to defend it from people that believe because of their moral persuasions they should be able to break it isn't really the best for the state of Georgia. Twist real facts again. I'll bring mine to the table, you bring yours, and to make myself self-important, make friends with state's leadership. Again, someone that on the transportation debate was once sponsoring the bill and then decided before the governor had even really weighed in on it, because the governor's staff was working on Opportunity School District, decided to go to the well, essentially pour gas on himself and light it because he wasn't getting his way and was embarrassed that he had sponsored a bill that some of his backers were calling a tax increase, took himself out of the solution, decided to make the governor the problem, because the reality is David Stover is not going to pass any bill of consequence because the way that he's conducted himself down there. There's a right way to do things, there's a wrong way. And every time someone disagrees with you, to tell them they're immoral, they've lost their soul, or somehow they're part of a corrupt structure, instead of actually getting in the weeds, taking tough votes, and actually having to vote to be part of the solution instead of always criticizing that do, that's the difference between effective conservatism and people that decide they just want to put things on their lapel pin and run around and tell everyone how more morally superior they are than how effective they are. So I wish Representative Stover would be a little more concerned about how effective he was for conservatism than how much he was out there telling people he was principled but a failure. Anyone else?
I always assumed that the marketplace for souls was market making. You know, I thought you could demand your own price for a soul, but turns out the prices are very low, and that's the only reason I still have mine.
Well, you know, I assume when you decided to become a member of the state Democratic Party and the state committee that you had to leave that in a lockbox somewhere that might be returned one day.
But. Well, we have collectivism, so we all share one soul.
Ah,
the problem is there's just no bidders.
Who actually takes that soul to church with them on Sundays to make sure it's checked in on? Is that, have y'all ever looked at the bylaws to figure out who's got that right now?
I think that might be an empty office at the moment. I'll have to check the bylaws.
Well, anyway, John, any final thoughts on that before we get to the break?
Again, you get into the people to where principle is the most important thing as opposed to trying to figure out what do we have in common and where can we go. And I think, again, we'll probably talk a little bit more about this in the next segment, but the Speaker of the House had some very wise words of wisdom in a speech yesterday.
Well, wise words are needed. That's what calms tempers down. Sometimes you just got to air it out so that everyone knows exactly what we're talking about. That's what we do here on George Paul Radio. And we're going to do a little more of it right after this break on 640 AM WGST.